May I bid you all welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning to the adult Bible class. I trust the Lord will gather with us. Well, he will, because he's promised so, and that our hearts will be open to be with him this morning. Welcome to those watching and listening online to Calgary Free Presbyterian Church. We have been working our way through the shorter catechism, but today we have the honour and the privilege of welcoming somebody into membership of the church. So I thought we'd just look at church membership this morning to remind our memories and warm our hearts to what it's all about. As the Lord's pleased to help us this morning, let's pray first of all and seeking the Lord's help. Our Lord and God, thou our Saviour, thou who lovest us with a love that we can scarcely understand, an eternal love, a love so high we can't get over it, so low we can't climb under it. O Lord, a deep and broad, eternal and unconditional love. O Lord, we who are saved by thine undeserved favour, by the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood, we rejoice, O Lord, that he has done it all. And that's still the case. O God, we could do nothing to earn salvation. We could do nothing for our salvation. And we can do nothing to maintain our salvation. But we rejoice that the Lord Jesus Christ, that his love is not of words only, but in deeds on the cross and unto an everlasting life with him. Lord, we pray that thou wilt forgive our sins against thee and against each other. Thou wilt help us, O God, even this morning to draw nigh unto thee. Pour out thy Spirit, Lord. Warm our hearts. Give us understanding and wisdom. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. Please open your copies of the scriptures this morning to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Welcome. So we're going to read a portion from Ephesians chapter 4 as we consider this morning as a short break from the shorter catechism, looking at church membership. Ephesians chapter 4 and reading from verse 8, please. Ephesians 4 and verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, that's some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight, the craftiness of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen. Wonderful things there And really the focus of those verses is the gifts of Christ to the church. Each of us have received the gift of salvation who are saved. We know the Lord, but he hasn't just left us as scattered as nomads in the wilderness of this earth. He has gathered together a people because he's the shepherd. And what does a shepherd do? A shepherd gathers together a flock, which is what congregation means. It means the bringing together of the flock, from two Latin words. And so the Lord gathers together in his flock. And each congregation, at least every congregation that opens the Word of God and has not abandoned the gospel and the truth of the Bible, is a true congregation of Jesus Christ. Good morning. We're looking at church membership this morning. We just looked at Ephesians 4 and verses 8 to 15. I'd like to read a short portion from our Confession of Faith. That's the Westminster Confession of Faith. The original was from 1647. And this is chapter 30. I'll just read it. It's not very long, you'll be glad to know. But it'll give us a bit of background. This chapter is called, so you won't find it in your shorter catechism book. There are three main documents that we subscribe to. And so we have the Confession of Faith, which is, I believe, is 33 chapters, articles of faith. And then we have our larger catechism, which is more in-depth, and then the shorter catechism that we've been going through. But just looking at the Confession of Faith, it says this. It's talking of church censures, which is not all negative by any means, although it sounds like it. Firstly, the Lord Jesus, as King and head of his church, hath therein, that is, in his church, appointed a government in the hand of church officers, distinct from the civil magistrate. So the session here is not the same as Menenshi and the council. To these officers, the keys of the kingdom of heaven are committed, by virtue whereof they have power, respectively, to retain and remit sins, to shut that kingdom against the impenitent, both by the word and censures, that is discipline, and to open it unto penitent sinners by the ministry of the gospel and by absolution from censures as occasion shall require. In other words, by the preaching of the gospel, we can say to the penitent sinner, the Lord forgives you when you call upon his name for forgiveness. And if you don't, if you are impenitent, if you stay hardened in your sin, then the kingdom of heaven is not open to you. That's all it means. It's the authority of the gospel preaching. Not just the authority, but it is the authority of the gospel preaching. Church censures are necessary. It's a discipline, we may use that word. Are necessary for the reclaiming and gaining of offending brethren, for deterring of others from the like offences, for purging out of that leaven which might infect the whole lump, for vindicating the honour of Christ and the holy profession of the gospel, and for preventing the wrath of God, which might justly fall upon the church, if they should suffer his covenant and the seals thereof to be profaned by notorious and obstinate offenders. This is the doctrine, really, of separation from worldliness in the church itself. And it is, as it says here, it's a necessity for the reclaiming and gaining of offending brethren. And then finally it says, for the better attaining, for the better reaching of these ends, the officers of the church are to proceed by admonition, that is warning, suspension from the sacrament of the Lord's Supper for a season, and by excommunication from the church, according to the nature of the crime and demerit of the person. So they were given three levels. There's a warning, there's a suspension from privileges, and the most severe, which is never to be taken lightly, is excommunication. And what that saying is, by your own deeds and reaction to the Word of God, which is the only authority anybody ever has, you've shown yourself not to be born again. So it's a very serious thing, never, ever, ever taken lightly. And so the context is that we have the shepherd, we have the under-shepherd, we have the sheep, and the sheep can go astray, and therefore they're drawn back. And the motive should always be love. Love towards the sheep and fear towards Christ, because it's not my sheep. It's the sheep of Christ. It's not the session's sheep. It's the sheep of Christ, the flock of God. And so very briefly, in a list of nine brief points, I would just quickly like to run through what church membership is, to refresh our minds and to warm our hearts towards it, what it's all about. Well, firstly, it's a commission. It's a commission. It's actually part of the Great Commission. When we think of the Great Commission, we'll think of Matthew 28, and Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even up to the end of the world." So this is a very well-known piece of scripture. It's the commission of the church. The Great Commission is not just an evangelical commission. It's an ecclesiastical commission. It's to go into all the world, and it's to gather the flock of God. It's to preach the gospel, and those who are called and are converted are to be gathered together, and they are to be preached to, not preached at, preached to, taught the things of Christ. And the right use of the gospel ordinances, as we're considering this morning, the Lord's table, but even receiving and also receiving into membership, where Christ is the absolute focus of all matters. It's part of the Great Commission. As Jesus said to his disciples, "I will build my church." And he does build his church. There's a spiritual aspect, but there's also an organizational aspect. And to that end, not only is it a commission, but he has appointed commissioners, those who are to be actively and officially involved in the commission. And that's what we read in Ephesians chapter 4. We see there in verse 11, "And he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers." And that's not a complete list, but that's the core list. That's the core list. But we understand when we read further on in the New Testament, and we see that echoed from the Old Testament order, we see ruling and teaching elders, we see the deacons, and they are the office bearers of the congregation. And so they've been commissioned. And we see 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17, it says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." So we have the elders in general, and then we have the elders who teach in the word and doctrine. And then the deacons, "Likewise must the deacons be grave," that is serious, "not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre," that is cash, "holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience." So the Lord himself, he has commissioned a church. He has commissioned those who are to pastor the church, to guide the church, to rule the church, to take care of the church. And part of that being a commissioner is to be consecrated, to be set apart. We would use the word ordained. There's an ordination. Paul, on his first missionary journey in Acts 14, it talks about what they were doing when he was there in southern Asia Minor. I think it may have been in Pisidian Antioch when this actually happened. "And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." So we see there that Paul, representing the Jerusalem Presbytery, he goes out and he establishes works and he establishes elders in those works. And so the ordination to the ministry, at the eldership or the pastoral ministry, it's an official appointment. We see Paul doing this, performed by the ruling body. But it is this also, it is according to the Spirit-led voting of the congregant member, of the membership. Fourthly, it's a confession. Coming into membership is a confession. It's a public confession of faith, that you personally know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own Savior. Not that you're perfect, Not that you wander without error or mistake or that you're sinless. No, but the Lord is yours. That you've reached an age of accountability in the congregation, that you're making this profession, this confession, but that you are the Lord's. Not that you're an avid churchgoer, not that you agree in your head with certain things that are taught from the pulpit, but that you are a member of the mystical body of Christ. You are his and he is yours. That's what you're saying. That you're truly born again. But as an expression of this wonderful spiritual truth, you're also a member of the earthly body of Christ. A member of the body. Not outside of it, but a member of it. Attached to it by membership. The word member does mean a limb. By the way, a member of the body is a limb of the body. You're physically attached. And that's the idea of membership. Becoming part of the body. Something outside of the body. This piece of formica or whatever it is, that's not helping my heart beat. It's not part of my body. It's not feeding me. It's not in my body. And this is the very core of membership. It's also confessional. It's confessional. We have 9 C's today. So this is Free Presbyterianism in overdrive this morning. So it's confessional. So we make a confession, but it's also confessional because what you're saying when you come into membership, especially in a confessing church, is what those godly men examined from the scriptures and submitted to according to the scriptures. The scriptures taught things about election. They taught things about who Jesus Christ is. They taught the Bible teaches things about who we are and therefore our need of Jesus Christ. Everything that the Bible teaches, we've done our best to understand and to write them down and to formulate and say, right, this is the Christian faith. And that's what we call a confessional document, that you wholeheartedly agree with the confessional stance of this congregation. And by God's grace, and it is grace, it is a gift that we have a biblical confession. And so we have our confessional stance, we have our distinctives, which are also biblical, as they're taught here. So you're saying, you're making a public confession in the sense that I stand by the confession that this church subscribes. Notice the word subscribe. I sign that I agree with it, but that's called a substandard. And we're very clear that that is the substandard of the church. This is the standard of the church. This is the standard of the church. The Bible, the 66 books of Holy Scripture. But these confessional documents, they just help us to understand. And if anybody, any time, could prove that what's written in these things is wrong and not according to the Scriptures, then this will be changed. This never gets changed. This is the standard. This is merely a tool to help. And our 6th C this morning is care. And this should really, this is the whole point of the structure of the church that we looked at in the first, under the first C. It's care, protection, support, and discipleship. And where does that come from? Well, initially, that comes from the pulpit. That comes from the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. But it's also that pastoral side, is that coming alongside, is that visitation, is that talking one-to-one. Also the sacramental ministry. For the Lord has not given us baptism and the Lord's table for us to despise it, to treat it lightly. The Lord has an important meaning for those things. And so we must partake, because the Lord says, you're weak, I'm strong, let me strengthen you. And so we come to the Lord's table, we're to be fed. The oversight of the session of the elders, the practical support of the board of deacons, these are all set in place by the Lord Jesus Christ for our good. And therefore they must all be absolutely biblical and not left to the whims of men and women. Hebrews 13 and verse 7 says this. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So to the congregant it says, submit yourselves, but to those who are in a church office, as they that must give account. The fear of God must be a ruling element. And in that fear of God, we have the love towards God. And so there is that care in that ruling. We also, seventhly, we have a congregation. We said, well, haven't we mentioned that already? Yes, but why let a good seed go to waste? As a congregation, no, but it is the gathering together of the people of God. And coming into membership says, I'm a part of that congregation. That's my congregation. That's my church family. That's where I go. That's where I belong. And therefore, I promise, as it were, and we'll come to that next point about promising, but the diligent and faithful public attendance together with the Lord's people, gathering together with the Lord's people. The Lord calls us together. And membership does this. Membership, it not only reveals or makes us aware of the fact that this is a great privilege, but also forces home the fact that this is a duty. It's a duty and a privilege. It's both. You know, we can sometimes be duty, and the D for duty becomes the D for dry. But no, it's a privilege, and it's my duty. It's my privilege as a father to protect and provide. It's also my duty to protect and provide. It's not either or. So there are benefits, but there are also duties. And eighthly, we have covenant. Covenant. So what do I mean here? Well, a covenant here is a pledge between the believer and the Lord. But it's also between the believer and the Lord's commissioned or ordained body to rule spiritually, to rule practically. And it's not something to be taken lightly, because we are not to be covenant breakers. There is a covenant that is made. And we could look further into this when we consider the covenant of church membership. It reminds, it reinforces the truth of the vows that are taken at baptism. Baptism is a sign and seal of the covenant of grace. And so when you were baptized, there was teaching, there were promises that was made. And this is, as it were, almost a renewal of the covenant. As some churches would do public confession of faith. Again, that would be considering the vows made in baptism, although it's a slightly different context there. But there is a covenant that I make with the Lord. Something we don't do much these days. Covenanting. Personally and as a body. But it's not to be taken lightly, because we're not to make a promise to God ever and break it. Better not to make a promise to God than to make one full of zeal and enthusiasm and then break it. The Bible's very clear about that. And then finally, censure, which brings us back to what we were reading about in the chapter 30 of the Westminster Confession of Faith. And what does that mean? That really means discipline. And when we think of discipline, we can tend to have a very negative view of discipline. Let me just change the structure of that word and say discipleship. Part of discipleship is discipline. You have personal discipline, but also discipline, and this is what that chapter was talking about, is where people veer off. Let me just give an example. We have a congregation, and there are certain members of the congregation who, instead of who pay more attention to YouTube theology than biblical theology, and then they'll have a certain idea about something, and then they'll start spreading it around. Now, for minor matters, for opinions on politics and stuff like that, that's not important. But when it comes to, when it comes in direct conflict with the teaching, the biblical teaching of the church, well, then we have that warning. Hey, that's an opinion, but keep it to yourself. But if it's an anti-gospel opinion, well, that's when censure is needed. That's when the part of discipleship becomes discipline. And the whole idea of discipline, as it said, is to bring people back on the straight and narrow. It's never to be used in party politics. It's never to be used in putting one group against another. But as many of us know, that has been the case. Never an abuse of power, or by either party, by the congregant or the session. Should never be. Never manipulation to gain control or influence in the congregation by the congregant, and certainly not by the session to manipulate and control the believers. There's enough in the Bible to put the fear of God literally in both parties. But there is a right and a holy and a loving place for discipleship and discipline. And that's part of membership. All of these nine things are part of the membership in the body of Christ. Yes, you can attend, but you do miss out on all of these things. People are welcome to attend. I'm not putting any pressure. I'm just trying to show from the scriptures as well. If there was no membership, there was no earthly representation of the body of Christ, well, we wouldn't have a building. We come together, we make form of a congregation. But if there was no congregation, then there was nobody to vote for the eldership. There'd be no session. If there was no session, there'd be no presbytery. If there's no presbytery, there would be no taking students in. And the taking in of students under the care of presbytery, there would therefore be no testing and examination of those students. There'd be no men available to be ordained to the public ministry. So it all forms in the Presbyterian system one entire whole, and it's based fundamentally upon the prayerful voting of congregant members. It's a very democratic system in that way. It's for the members to vote prayerfully, seeking who is the man to be a deacon, a godly office, practical office, but a godly office. Who is to be the elder? Who is to be the minister of the gospel in this congregation? You can't just have people coming in and attending and think, well, I'm going to vote. They have made no public covenant or pledge or confession that they believe the Bible to be, that first of all, that they are born again believers and that the Bible is their rule of faith and life, practice and worship. And so that's really just bringing those nine C's together. I'll just run through the C's again very quickly. So it is a commission. It's commissioned by Jesus. He has given commissioners. So we have the elders, the deacons, as well as the teaching pastors, evangelists, missionaries. It's all forms part of it, but strictly for the formation and the feeding, the protection and care of the local congregation, it is the board of deacons, the session of elders. And then there's a consecration, set apart, appointed, tested by a spirit led voting of the membership. It's a confession. Membership is a confession. And in our case, it's also confessional. It brings one under care. Now, does that mean if you're not a member that the minister doesn't get in touch, that there's no friendly handshake or elbow touch or whatever it is these days? Of course not. Of course not. But that part of the body of Christ praying for and voting and all that. Come on in, take a seat. We're just having our adult Bible class. Just rounding off our looking at membership, church membership. Our main service is starting about half an hour. And so we have the care, and that's the core of the eldership. And we have that congregation that we're coming together, that all these members come together, form a congregation. Yet we have adherents. We have very faithful adherents. We have adherents who you wouldn't tell the difference in everyday life of the church. Which then begs the question, why not membership? We have a covenant, but it is a covenant pledge. It's between, you're coming into membership, you're saying, Lord Jesus, thou hast saved me, I am part of thy body, and now I am part of this thy body, and I'm working towards that. Now, people do that. We have beloved brethren and sisters in the faith who are not members, and they do everything but. And then the censure as well. If you're not a member, then that discipline means you can just walk away when the going gets tough. That you don't allow yourself to be under the authority of the session. And if there is something that needs that discipline, that hand of correction and love, should always be with forbearance and patience. Don't always see that. Then you can never be under the censure of Jesus Christ. Because it should always be according to the will of God through the scriptures of God. And I'd like to just finish off. We're going to finish a little earlier today. We have to get the elements ready for the Lord's table. I'd just like to read a short account from our book of church order. So he begins with the confession of faith and now moving on to the church order. Couldn't get drier, you think? No, but these are important things. You wouldn't buy a house without reading the mortgage documentation. Well, at least I hope you wouldn't. And if you would, it's not advisable. The book of church order says this about church members. It says, the acceptance by all church members of the final authority of the courts of the church to adjudicate, that is to judge all matters that properly fall within their purview. Now that's highfalutin language for you. In other words, every church member accepts that the session and the board of deacons have a particular area of responsibility, and we accept that. So there's the spiritual rule, there's practical rule, spiritual and practical rule, the session and the board. It says here, carries on, in seeking and receiving membership in the church, believers confess the right and authority of church courts, so the local session, and then presbytery above that, to legislate, as to make laws, rules, to adjudicate, to judge, to exercise discipline, to impose moral and spiritual censure, so we say discipline, on those whom they judge worthy of it, and to publish such decisions either in the local congregation or more widely as each case merits. In other words, nothing done behind closed doors. All officials should all be in the session book as well. And it should all be open and public so that it is not abused. Since receiving membership in the church is a privilege, church members shall pledge themselves to seek relief of grievances or to appeal decisions they don't agree with in the courts of the church only. For conscience sake, they specifically reject any reference of church matters to civil courts. In other words, you don't take to the court the session because you don't agree with a particular decision. No, you go to the session. You argue your point there, and if it's unsatisfactory, you think, no, this is not handled the way it should be. Not that you disagree. I mean, everyone disagrees. But that you think, no, this is wrong. Then you have the right as a member to go to presbytery. You say, presbytery, look at what they're doing. That's not right, is it? Book of church order says this, and they're doing that. That's what we mean by the not bringing it to the civil courts. It says, content in the assurance that the Lord has promised wisdom and ultimate vindication of any who suffer wrong for his sake. That last bit is actually the most important. In other words, we believe that the Lord has set up the structure of his church. He set up elders, he set up deacons, he set up the session, the board, and that they are to seek God's will, and that you are to pray that God will seek their will, that they will seek God's will, and that God will make his will clear to them. And that's the same with presbytery. The presbytery, they will make decisions. You might not agree with them. Well, then you pray that the Lord will change minds and change hearts. But being part of that presbytery is also the belief that this is the Lord's work. And sometimes the Lord lets us go down bypath meadows, and he lets us make mistakes to correct us, to rebuke us. But that's the challenge. And so that's really all that I wanted to say. I have a small little point that I'd like to read out about what it means to be a member of this Presbyterian church. Not that it's any different, but just what are the personal things. But we'll look at that when we bring Mrs. Nesbitt into membership this morning. Are there any questions before we break, before the main service at 11? Maybe this is an awful lot in one go, which I can well imagine. So questions at another time. It's a relationship. It's a covenantal relationship. There is an order, a godly order. But it's made up of sinners. And that's the challenge. Any questions? Any popped into the head? On church membership? All right. So we will just close in prayer, and we'll get the Lord's table prepared. Lord, we thank thee for all the gifts that thou hast granted to thy church. We thank thee for thyself, the greatest and most highly prized gift is Jesus Christ as our own Saviour. Lord, we thank thee for him. We thank thee also, Lord, for bringing us together in little flocks or bigger flocks. We thank thee for the congregation of God. We thank thee for the Word of God, which is the absolute rule, the absolute foundation of our faith and of our practice. And Lord, I do pray that thou wilt be pleased to impress upon our hearts and deep into our souls what it means to be a member of the body of Christ by the rebirth, but also to be a member of the body of Christ here in this local congregation, that we may understand a little bit more. Not that we're all going to sign up who aren't members, but Lord, that we might understand a little bit more of coming into that local covenant relationship with thee, rejoicing that we have had our names in that eternal covenant of grace. Lord, feed us, we pray. Prepare our hearts for thy worship this morning and for the Lord's table. Forgive our sins and our foolishnesses, that we may eat and drink worthily. We pray only in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for your attention.